Hare Krishna Mitravinda and Pundarik singing so nicely. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This song that they sang just now is actually the translation of Srila Prabhupada's offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You all remember that song? I'll just read Prabhupada's offering. And this one I translated once I got stranded in Singapore for losing my passport. I think for about 2 weeks I was stranded there for the embassy to get me a new passport. So I was stuck there. And at that time, I translated this song. This offering of Srila Prabhupada, this poetry of Srila Prabhupada, in 1981. 81 or 82. This was Srila Prabhupada's offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur during his Vyas Puja in 1935. Adore, adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Misled we are all going astray, save us Lord, our fervent pray, wander thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy, the illusion stole. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope, his divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought, unknown to all, it's full of bliss, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us life, anew and fresh, worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told, the message of Krishna, forceful and bold, that's your right, you have the mace, save me a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew, the oldest of all but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. Should I read the Bengali one also again? Okay, I'll read the English first and then I'll read the Bengali. Adore, adore you all, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. Sheshubho diner aradhana kore, jagore jagot bashi, choitro madhur sorgo medur, shubho lagonero rashi. Jedin amar hridayer raj gurudev maharaj, putopuri dhame prokashi apone, Hare Prithibir Trash. O Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Devodut Shamo Guru Maharaj, Aloke Plabito Koro, Jibon Juthe Porajito Mor, Bhoy Shantrash Horo, Durlabhutamo Manob Jibon, Tathapi Bharoshahin, Tabo Kripa Bina, Ami Ashohai, Aparag Udashin. Misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wander thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Mayar prabhave apon shabhave sadai adhama moti. Tran karo ei adham janere kripa bina nai goti. Jibo kollane tabo abodan. Jagote ghoshito aj, tabo shri charon, amar jivan, Gurudev Maharaj. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusion's toll, darkness around, all untraced, the only hope, his divine grace. Krishna ke bhule, mayar kabole, klesh pai abirato, moru bhume majhe, moru trisha shamo, prolobhan bhare hato, bibhishika bhara, andho timir, amanisha shamo mani, momo asha aj, guru maharaj, tabo shri mukher bani. Message of service, thou hast brought a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought, unknown to all, is full of bliss. That's your gift, your divine grace. Bhakotir bani prithivite ani, jibe daya holo shara, shabo avatar shar shiromani, gaura prabhur dhara. Jevani shabar agyato chilo, tomar ashishe aj, jagot majhare borshito holo, Gurudev Maharaj. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us life, anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Param Brahma, Param Purush, Praman Korile Tumi, Nirvisheshere Nirvanabad, Tajilo Bharat Bhumi, Nobin Jivan Lobhi Moratai, Ullashehoe Magna, Tomar Charon Bandana Kori, Mohopash Kori Bhagna. Had you not come, who had told? The message of Krishna, forceful and bold. That's your right, you have the mess. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. Tumi jodi aaj prokash na hote, andho timir hani, dipto konthe tabe ke shonato, Shri Bhagobaner bani, shei adhikar tomarei shaje, Dondo tomar hate, kripa kori ei adham janere, niye chalo tabo sathe. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. Tumi je dekhale bhaktir pot, Tulona to tar nai, Shishirer moto ujjal, Ar ucchal tar thai, Chiropuratan shashato bani, Nobin shajete raje, Tomar kripar prokash sharupe, সারা জগতের মাঝে হরে কৃষ্ণ. সো দিস ওয়াজ দ্য ট্রান্সলেশন অফ শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ অফারিং টু শ্রীল ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী ঠাকুর অন হিজ ব্যাস পূজা. সো ইয়েস্টারডে মাই গড ব্রাদার্স উদয়ানন্দ প্রভু অ্যান্ড বাসু ঘোষ প্রভু অ্যান্ড টু সন্ন্যাসিস ভক্তি গৌরব নারায়ণ মহারাজ অ্যান্ড ভক্তি প্রেম মহারাজ গ্লোরিফাইড শিল প্রভুপাদ. অ্যান্ড টুডে ইট ইজ মাই টার্ন. So, both Udayananda Maharaj and Basu Ghosh Prabhu mentioned how they came to Krishna consciousness by reading Prabhupada's books. That's what Udayananda Prabhu actually pointed out. And that was also my case. I was searching for a spiritual master. I came back to India in pursuit of spiritual life, and while reading various books on Vedic scriptures, various books on Vedic knowledge, I became aware that one needs a spiritual master to begin his spiritual life. So, and that's what actually brought me to India. And I thought that that as soon as I come back to India, I'll find a spiritual master, because there are so many spiritual masters in India, so many sadhus are there, so many gurus are there. And those days, I did not have any clear understanding what is actually the goal of spiritual life. My basic understanding was to achieve liberation. And liberation means go out of this world. And going out of this world means merging into impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Although that concept was not very clear to me, what Brahma Jyoti was or what merging into Brahma Jyoti actually meant, but my understanding was that those understanding will be revealed when I find a guru. And I came back to India. I landed in Delhi. And from Delhi, I straight went to Haridwar. And from Haridwar, I went to Rishikesh. But by the time I went to Rishikesh, I became quite disappointed with those so-called sadhus. Because in Rishikesh, when I was there, I was meeting those people, spending time with them. And I would see from morning till night, and even throughout the night, what they do is smoke hashish, charas. And when I was in the West, I had many friends who were smoking charas, smoking marijuana, and taking LSD. So that was not something that was unknown to me, and I also was quite well aware of the effect of those things. I used to see when one would smoke ganja or charas, they would become so stupid. They would say that they are going high, but anybody could see that their brain is not working. They become completely stupid without any brains. And I could see the same thing happening to these people also. And they would show their ability, how heavy they can smoke. And sometimes, actually, they had some amazing ability. Sometimes they would pull the ganja, the smoke in, drag it for one minute, or more than a minute. And then they would start giving out the smoke. So I thought, this is not my... Let the insects also have a good day. So by the time I got totally disappointed, and still I kept on. I mean, I thought that if I go further up, then probably I would find some sadhus. But then I found all those sadhus. And I mean, this, how many of you have read The Ocean of Mercy? Okay. So, I mean, those are described in those days, have been described there, my experience those days. One memorable incident actually was to meet Ananda Mahima. She's a woman. She's a fallen yogi, a yogini. She has some power. She had some mystic power. And I was impressed. I was actually very much affected by one of our sannyasi disciples, Sarupananda Swami. And he was very inspirational. And I was also seeing the life of a sannyasi, so detached. And he wanted me also to join their ashram. But surprisingly, when I was meeting her, it was in Benares that I was in their ashram, and she had many, many followers. Like, ashram was packed with people. She was very, very, prominent those days. Ananda Mahima, especially in Bengal, everybody knows her. She, Indira Gandhi was also very fond of her. Like, Indira Gandhi used to visit her ashram also and take her blessings, especially before election. And so, there is a picture of Ananda Mahima. But this was when she was much younger. But when I met her, she was quite old anyway. And she actually told that I did not belong to their group, their line. I mean, she did have some mystic power. And she also told, I mean, in that way she indicated that she was not my guru. That's what she actually pointed out. But I felt that was a rejection, and I felt very disappointed. I thought, when I am ready to surrender, she is not accepting me. But of course, later on I found out that was such a benediction actually from her. Because had I have surrendered there, then probably I wouldn't have gone out to search for Srila Prabhupada. And that was very, very nice of her to let me go. And then by the time I was quite disappointed with my search. And at that time I felt that I had been searching my guru for so long, but I can't find him. But if at all I have a guru, then let him come and pick me up. I can't find him. I do not know where to go to find him. I had been going to so many places. But if at all I have a spiritual master, then let him come and pick me up. Thinking that, I gave up my search. And it was around that time, when I went back to my father's place in Calcutta. And at that time, to cut the long story short, one of my old friends who also joined ISKCON before me, and together actually we went to America, we went to Germany, and he joined ISKCON. I heard that he joined ISKCON. I met ISKCON devotees, and I went to ISKCON temple in Hamburg in 1970, but I never thought of joining ISKCON. Like when I came back in search of a guru, I was going everywhere. Although ISKCON temple was about a mile away from my house in Calcutta, but I never thought of even. Many times I went by the temple in Calcutta, but never thought of going to ISKCON. And he joined, so I thought he was just fooling around, and he was not serious. But he came back to Calcutta. One day he knocked at my door one evening, and I saw he was totally transformed. He had long hair, now he's shaved up. I never seen him anything other than Western clothes, and now he's wearing dhoti and kurta. And I saw that distinctly visible transformation. And so, and you know, like one of the first thing I asked him, are you serious about what you are doing? And the way he told me that he was serious, I was convinced that he was serious. And then I began to see, like the next day also he came to me, and we spent the morning together. We went out, and then it was time for lunch, so I told him that I asked him to take lunch, and so I think I told our cook to make some vegetable food, because I already knew that he became a vegetarian. I told him that, look, the lunch should be at my place, and he declined. I told him that, look, it'll be vegetarian, don't worry. And then he told me, yes, but the utensils they will use is not pure. And that impressed me so much, that he was not only a vegetarian, he maintains such a strict standard of vegetarianism. So that actually impressed me very much. And he took me to Calcutta temple. I met some devotees, American disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And I had a very nice time. They were intelligent. And we had a nice talk. But still, I didn't think of joining at that time. And then one day I thought of taking a book, and I asked for a Bhagavad Gita, because I was told, I knew, because I used to read Bhagavad Gita, I used to carry a Bhagavad Gita, Radha Krishnan's translation of Bhagavad Gita, I used to always carry with me. So I thought that I'll take a Bhagavad Gita, but they didn't have a Bhagavad Gita. Or maybe where the Bhagavad Gita books were kept, that shelf was locked. Something, I don't remember. I told them, give any book. Just give any book, anything. So they gave me A Nectar of Devotion. So I went home. I started to read. And as I started to read, from the very first page, it hit me. This is it. This is it. And I'll tell you what actually impressed me so much is right at the beginning, Prabhupada is mentioning about liberation. Prabhupada spoke about five kinds of liberation, and I was impressed. I was aspiring for, I was thinking that liberation is the goal of life, and Prabhupada is speaking about five kinds of liberation. I mean, And that was so impressive. And then it came to a place, I mean, it's all within 2-3 pages. Prabhupada is mentioning that God is a person. And that struck me for the first time. God is a person. God is not just some light or some such energy or something. God is a person. And He is Krishna. And that was it. My understanding became completely clear. And the goal of life is to get to know Him and surrender unto Him. So I was so affected by that book that I kept on reading till I fell asleep. Actually, the book was on my head and I was by the side of my pillow and I fell asleep. I was reading, lying on the bed. And when I got up, the first thing I did is to pick up the book, Nectar of Devotion, and start reading again. And so, and the whole day practically, I kept on reading. And that night, I had a wonderful dream. That night, I saw Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting in what looked like a throne. Because I met many sadhus, but I never seen sadhus sitting on elaborate seats like Vyasasan that Prabhupada used to sit on. And Prabhupada was sitting on that, and there was a brilliant light. And although, in a way, I was dreaming, but it looked as if very, very real, as if Srila Prabhupada was really sitting there. There was this brilliant light coming from Him, and there are so many devotees sitting there, some were standing, and my heart became filled with a wonderful feeling of joy that finally I found my spiritual master. And I mean, that feeling was so overwhelming. I mean, I did not want anything to ask. I didn't want to. All I just did is I offered obeisances. I offered obeisances. Not full obeisances also. Just panchanga pranam. Kneeling down, I offered obeisances. And then I came back to my external senses. And that feeling was so overwhelming, as if I just got transported from one reality to another reality. That was not a dream, that was a reality. And I came back to this reality. So by the time I was convinced, I found my guru. So I went to the temple and I asked where Srila Prabhupada was. And I was told that Prabhupada was in America. So I thought, while reading the Nectar of Devotion, I also saw a devotee. What does a devotee do? Especially in Vrindavan. A devotee goes, visits different temples, the places of Krishna's pastimes, and associates with the devotees. So I thought that until Srila Prabhupada came back, I would visit. By the time I just got to know Mayapur and Navadvip, places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, and since Mayapur was so close, I thought first I'll go to Navadvip and then I'll go to Vrindavan. And I would spend my time there. So I went to Mayapur. I arrived in Mayapur. Actually, I spent the day with some of my friends before leaving. I was just going out, I used to meet my old friends, and so by the time I actually came to Mayapur, it was already evening. And when I arrived in Mayapur, it was the evening arati was going on. So I just went to attended the arati, and I thought, Mayapur, I'll just go and see what they're doing, because by the time I already got to know about Mayapur, and and I found everyone was so inviting, so welcoming. Most of the devotees those days in Mayapur were all Americans and few Europeans from Germany and Italy, and most of them were actually Americans. And so I was speaking to them, and they were so happy. Whoever I spoke to, why don't you stay, and why don't you stay with us? Why don't you see however you like it here? And I kind of like thought that, okay, they're inviting me. I didn't tell them anything. At the back of my mind, I was thinking that they're so welcoming, they're so inviting. Maybe I should accept their invitation and spend a few days here before going to Vrindavan. And then the next morning, I attended the Bhagavatam class, and I attended the whole program, Mangal Arati, the chanting, and I already got a pair set of beads, and I was chanting in the beads, and then I attended the Bhagavatam class, and I was very impressed with the Bhagavatam class that was given by one young American sannyasi, Satadhanna Prabhu. Those days he was a sannyasi. And I was so impressed, like, it looked like, you know, this person knows Sanskrit like, as if, you know, fluent in Sanskrit. When he was giving the class, it looked like he knows all the verses of Bhagavad Gita, all the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is the way of Srila Prabhupada's training. Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to learn Sanskrit shlokas and give classes on the shlokas, speak on the shlokas while giving the class. And it's so impressive. As a newcomer, I realized, or I felt, it's so impressive when you see a devotee reciting the verses and then explaining the point. Like, is extremely impressive. And as I said, like, to me, it seemed like the way he was reciting the verses, it seemed like he knows the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart. And so after giving the class, the sannyasi came straight up to me and started to speak to me. He said, I heard about you. And he also said, why don't you stay? Why are you wasting time going to different places? Just stay here and see. So that was it. So I felt, okay, I'm going to. I didn't tell him anything, but I went to a barber, got my head shaved. I got some dhoti. I got a set of dhoti and kurta. And I went to Ganga, took a bath, threw away my old clothes in Ganga, and put on my dhoti and kurta, and I came back. All the devotees were inviting me to stay, and now when they saw me, they were shocked. They never expected such a transformation in such a short time. And so that is how actually my spiritual life started. And then Prabhupada was in America, and I got to know so many things as a devotee that service is the way to render devotion. And so, and I was ready to render any service at that time. And gradually I started to get more and more responsibilities. I used to visit some Gauriamath libraries to read books. And I found some of old writings of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was the editor of that magazine, Gauriya Patrika. And I got the I got those writings of Srila Prabhupada from those days, coming out serially. And then I decided to print it in a book. And in this way, and also I started to print the first Bhagavad Darshan, the Bengali Back to Godhead. I translated them and printed them. And then I got the news that Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. Prabhupada came back to India and he was in Bombay. So I went straight to Bhavananda Maharaj. Those days he was a sannyasi. Bhavananda Prabhu and Jayapataka Maharaj were the two co-directors of Mayapur. And Bhavananda was mostly managing. Jayapataka Maharaj was mostly traveling and preaching and distributing books with the with a group of devotees. So I asked Bhavananda Prabhu that I would like to go to Bombay. I heard Prabhupada has come back. And he discouraged me. He said that going to Bombay, nobody knows you, so you won't be able to go near Srila Prabhupada. And besides that, Prabhupada is not very well physically. Therefore, it won't be possible for you to meet Srila Prabhupada. So, and he told me that when Prabhupada comes to Mayapur, soon he'll be coming to Mayapur and he'll have lots of opportunities to meet him there. So I just accepted it, and he told me also that you have so much service here. And I also felt that I had so much to do. I was actually had, because I was practically the only educated Indian devotee in Mayapur at that time. And so I was getting a lot of responsibilities, especially the responsibilities that involved dealing with people, buying things and so forth, getting permissions from the government. And so and then after some time we got the news that Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was in Allahabad in Kumbh Mela. So by that time another leading sannyasi was in Mayapur with his group, Guru Kripa Swami, with his Namhat group. And they were extremely enthusiastic and vibrant group of devotees. So they used to collect in Japan those days. And collecting in Japan was very, very hectic. So from time to time, they used to come to Mayapur to get rejuvenated. So it was one such visit, they came to Mayapur and they got to know that Srila Prabhupada was in Allahabad and they decided to go to Allahabad. So, Kumbh Mela. So, a few Mayapur devotees also were included in that team. Bhavananda Prabhu went and a few other devotees, and I was included in that group. So, we arrived in Kumbh Mela at noontime, and I just put my things in the tent where I was supposed to stay, and I ran to meet Srila Prabhupada. But when I went to Srila Prabhupada's tent, which was walled with corrugated tin sheets, and there was an entrance, and at the entrance there was a big-bodied Western devotee guarding the gate. So when I tried to go in, he stopped me. And he said, no, don't, you can't go now. Prabhupada will give darshan in the evening, so you come in the evening. So disappointed, I left that place. Now when I was just going back, maybe to my tent, I saw Bhavananda Prabhu is coming with a basket full of vegetables. He is holding like this, the basket. And he saw me on the way and he told me that he was going to see Srila Prabhupada. Then he said, come, I'm going to Srila Prabhupada. So I just followed him. And so that devotee who was guarding, he just fell flat, offering obeisances to Bhavananda Prabhu. And I followed him inside. When I came in front of Prabhupada's tent, from outside the tent, I could see Srila Prabhupada inside the tent. And just seeing him, I fell down and offered obeisances. In the meantime, Bhavananda Prabhu naturally just went inside. So after offering obeisances, when I was about to go inside the tent, at the entrance of the tent, there was Rameshwar Swami. He was Prabhupada's secretary at that time. So he stopped me. He said, Prabhupada is taking prasad now, don't go in. Again disappointed, and I started to curse myself. Why did I offer obeisances from outside? I could have gone inside the tent with Bhavananda Prabhu and I could have offered obeisances there. I was sad feeling, I'm so stupid. I missed such a golden opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, disappointed, I left. And by that time, I realized that it is extremely difficult to go anywhere near Srila Prabhupada. And I felt that is justified. Prabhupada by that time had more than 6,000 disciples and thousands of followers. And I was thinking, who am I to have any attention of Srila Prabhupada? Who am I to go near Srila Prabhupada? So I gave up my hope for going anywhere near Srila Prabhupada. And Sridhar Swami, one of our senior god brothers, was organizing a devotees to go out and book distribution. So I joined that team, went out distributing books. The whole day I spent distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And the whole day means we went out in the afternoon after lunch. And in the evening when I came back, I found that Prabhupada Darshan already started. And the tent was packed. And somehow I squeezed inside. And I saw Srila Prabhupada. And that sight was so overwhelming that I lost consciousness of everything. Only thing that I was aware of, that my heart is going boom, boom. And I think that's the first time I experienced what ecstasy actually meant. It is something that happens to your heart that makes you forget about everything else. And that's exactly what happened to me at that time. Like, I was, the only thing that I think I was aware of is that feeling in my heart. And hearing, actually, distinctly hearing the sound. My heart is pounding very heavily. And then when I came back to my senses, I saw Srila Prabhupada was speaking, answering questions. And I didn't have any question to ask. I just, from a distance, I was just happy. I was just satisfied seeing Srila Prabhupada. I didn't want anything else. All I wanted is just to be there and see him. And those days, Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class in the morning after Guru Puja, and then in the evening darshan. So we used to attend. There were about 300 devotees present there at that time. And the Guru Krupuja was ecstatic. That reminds me one incident, that please remember that also, this instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Roaring kirtan was going on. Devotees were jumping up and down. Like, can you imagine 300 devotees like Udayananda Maharaj, Udayananda Prabhu, dancing? Can you imagine the sight? And can you imagine the sound of kirtan? But all of a sudden, Prabhupada just shouted and the kirtan stopped. Like in a moment, there was pin drop silence from that roaring, vibrant kirtan. And Prabhupada was asking that devotee, where did you learn this bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Krishna? So this devotee started to sing in the kirtan. All of a sudden he started to sing bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada, like a thunderbolt, just said, where did you learn to sing this? And then Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be chanted just the way it is. Nothing should be added and nothing should be subtracted. Just as it is. No bhaja Hare Krishna. Sometimes I hear devotees add something. Once I told a devotee, but sometimes some devotees become so arrogant and so adamant. I told him about the incident. And he said, oh, Prabhupada said about bhaja Hare Krishna. But I was singing bolo Hare Krishna. So that is all right. Bolo Hare Krishna. So I told him that, look, there's no difference between bhaja and bolo. And Prabhupada said that nothing should be added, nothing should be subtracted. Just Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, then one day, one morning actually, we got the news that Prabhupada was going to leave Kumbh Mela. Prabhupada was supposed to stay there for quite a long time. But just after spending a few days there, all of a sudden, Prabhupada decided to leave. And I think it was Prabhupada not feeling very comfortable there, because Kumbh Mela can become very noisy, and also the facilities was not there properly. Prabhupada couldn't translate. So I thought, okay, Prabhupada is going to leave. So he, just as Krishna is Ichchamoy, Prabhupada is also Ichchamoy. He can do whatever he wants. And so I just accepted that Prabhupada was going to leave. And then after breakfast, Bhavananda Prabhu came to me. And he said, tonight Prabhupada is leaving. So I told him, yes, I already heard that. And he told me that he'll be traveling by train and a small group of devotees will be accompanying Srila Prabhupada, and you have been included in that group. So I literally started to jump with ecstasy with that. And actually you'll also see that Bhavananda Maharaj actually helped me so much in coming close to Srila Prabhupada. So he included me in, and I knew that he included me in that team. Because those who were traveling with Srila Prabhupada were just very, very senior devotees, sannyasis, GBCs. And so I was included in that team. At night, Prabhupada started, the train started. Many devotees were standing there to see Srila Prabhupada off. And I remember when the train started to move, I stood by the door of the compartment and I was waving at them, kind of declaring my good fortune of traveling with Srila Prabhupada. So train started at night, so we went to sleep soon after that, after the train started to move. And we took rest at night. In the morning, I was chanting. And so it must have been around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And for arrangement was made, like one first class carriage was hooked on to a Calcutta bound train. And the whole carriage was for Srila Prabhupada. And just the carriage can take, I think, about 30, 40 people. But there were only about 14 devotees traveling. So there's plenty of space. And anyway, so I was chanting, sitting alone in my compartment. Then Bhavananda Maharaj came and said, "Come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada." Now all this while I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada. And when he came and said, "Come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada," when it became a reality, I felt something that I'm not qualified to go near Srila Prabhupada. I was afraid that Prabhupada would see all the dirt in my heart, all the sins that I have committed in the past, and maybe Prabhupada would reject me. With a kind of a feeling that I had, and I kind of just didn't make any move. I just sat there dazed. So Bhavananda Prabhu just held me by my hand, dragged me through the corridor, opened the door of Prabhupada's compartment, and pushed me in. I fell flat on the ground, offering obeisances. When I got up, I saw Srila Prabhupada was looking at me. And Prabhupada was sitting. First class compartments had two seats facing each other. Prabhupada was sitting on one seat, and the other seat were facing that seat of Prabhupada. There were Rameshwar Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, and Bhavananda Maharaj. And Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president at that time in Calcutta, he was sitting on the floor. So, and Prabhupada was sitting there, and Prabhupada motioned, "You sit here." Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. I said, "Prabhupada, I'll just sit on the floor." But Prabhupada insisted, no, you sit there." So I pulled up the blanket that was spread over the bed, over the seat for Srila Prabhupada. I rolled it and sat in the corner. And then Prabhupada asked a few questions, just a few, two, three, initial exchanges. And then Prabhupada told me, "You translate my books into Bengali." And I was doing some translation. As I mentioned, I translated some articles of Back to Godhead, printed the Bengali Back to Godhead. But this responsibility of translating Srila Prabhupada's books, and I already heard that Srila Prabhupada was so particular about Bengali translation that he was very, very careful about his Bengali translation. And one of the reasons probably was the books are already there in Bengali. And so, anyway, Prabhupada was very particular about the Bengali translation. So I just blurted out, "Srila Prabhupada, will I be able to do that?" And Prabhupada just said, "Practice makes a man perfect." And he used the Bengali saying by which says gaite gaite gayan and nachtena, something to that effect, that by singing one becomes a singer and by practicing of dancing one becomes a dancer. So practice makes a man perfect. So Prabhupada, just do it. And that actually was the opening of the opportunity to get close to Srila Prabhupada. After that we came to Calcutta. Already Calcutta was my stomping ground, and Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and now I have the excuse to approach Srila Prabhupada anytime with a pretext that I have to show Srila Prabhupada what I translated. And in Calcutta I was there. Prabhupada stayed in Calcutta only for 2-3 days, I think. And then one evening Srila Prabhupada was giving darshan. Then the evening arati started. And when the evening arati started, Prabhupada told those who came to visit him. Prabhupada used to know many people in Calcutta. So many very important people used to come to see Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada asked them all to leave and go to the evening arati. And so I also left. So I was standing in the arati kirtan, and I felt that arati I can join any time. But Prabhupada's association, being near Prabhupada, that opportunity won't come so often. So thinking that, I went back to Srila Prabhupada's room. I just carefully opened, the door was closed, so I opened the door, and what I saw momentarily shocked me in a way. Because I saw Prabhupada was counting money. The people gave donations, so Prabhupada was counting the money that came as donation. But I brushed that thought aside. You see, in India, generally, you don't expect a sadhu to count money. Especially in India, they don't do that. Prabhupada once told that the difference between Mayavadis and us, when you give money to the Mayavadis, they put their hands at the back and say, no, we don't want money, we don't touch money. But when somebody gives us money, we take it with our right hand and then we stretch our left hand for some more. Because we engage everything in Krishna's service. Everything should be used in Krishna's service. Wealth is actually Krishna's wealth. Lakshmi Devi is Krishna's consort. That Lakshmi, anywhere else in anyone's possession, is fickle, chanchala. She doesn't stay. Because she belongs to Krishna. Anyway, so that thought just flashed across my mind to see Srila Prabhupada. But it's vivid in my memory because I saw Srila Prabhupada counting money. So Prabhupada looked up and asked, "So what do you want?" I said, "Prabhupada, I just wanted to be with you." Prabhupada said, "Come sit down." And he kept on counting money. Then he stacked it. Prabhupada used to do things very meticulously and very artistically. His fingers would move in such a way, very artistical. So Prabhupada counted the money, took it, opened the drawer, kept it inside, closed the drawer. So then Prabhupada looked at me, and again asked, "So, what do you want?" So I blurted out with a pounding heart, "Srila Prabhupada, will you please give me initiation? Will you please accept me as your disciple?" Prabhupada said, yes. During Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur, I'll give you initiation. And my heart literally started to jump with joy in such a way as if it was going to come out of my body and go somewhere, fly somewhere else. And so, and then Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar. Then from Bhubaneswar, Prabhupada came back to Mayapur. And I didn't go to Bhubaneswar, although I could have gone there. But I didn't insist on going there because I was printing a book for Srila Prabhupada. That, as I told, like the early writings of Srila Prabhupada, I compiled in a book form, 64 pages book form, called Bhagavanir Katha. And so I thought I will complete the printing of that book and offer it to Srila Prabhupada when he would come back. Then Prabhupada came to Mayapur, we met, we saw him. It was another amazing sight. Like, actually, you all cannot imagine, those who haven't seen Srila Prabhupada, cannot imagine what kind of a personality he was. Like, we hear that just by seeing what is the sign of an Uttam Adhikari, just by seeing him, everyone starts to chant. Right? That's the symptom of an Uttam Adhikari. I mean, that's what would happen. Like, devotees, those who are down to earth, those who would be so practical and so passionate, those devotees, all Westerners, Americans and Europeans, Prabhupada's car arrived, the devotees were standing by the side of the road, Prabhupada got out of the car, and spontaneously tears started to come out of their eyes. Some of them fell flat, some of them, like, you know, it was a whole scene. Just the sight of Srila Prabhupada kind of completely overwhelmed them. Like, devotees started to cry just by seeing. Prabhupada went inside the room, inside the temple, circumambulated. And so Prabhupada was in his quarters in Mayapur, and he would give darshan in the evening. In front of his quarters there is this garden, and there are some benches. Prabhupada used to sit on a bench and give darshan. So one day I was not in the darshan, I went to Calcutta. Next day, morning when I came back, devotees told me that Prabhupada was asking about you. And I was so surprised to realize that Prabhupada noticed my absence. So excited, I just ran to Srila Prabhupada. And I asked Prabhupada, were you looking for me? Prabhupada said, yeah, where did you go? I didn't see you yesterday. I said, Prabhupada, I went to Calcutta. And I told him that I was printing that book called Bhagavanir Katha. That was the first time I told him that I collected his writings from from 48, 49, 50, 1949, 50. And then Prabhupada said, so where's the book? I told him that I compiled them and I was printing them in a book form. Prabhupada asked, where's that book? So I said, Srila Prabhupada is taking a long time to print. And Prabhupada said, that's the problem in India. Everything takes so long. Everything takes so long. And then I thought that I go to Calcutta, but sometimes I go to some sweet shop and eat sweets. So I thought, not only the printing of the book was the reason, maybe another reason was the temptation of the sweets from the sweet shops. So I told Prabhupada, it is said, driven by the urge of the tongue, one who moves here and there Driven by the urge of his senses, he cannot get Krishna. And I said, Prabhupada, I can't control my tongue. What will happen to me? Prabhupada said, take Krishna Prasad. So then I said, Prabhupada, sometimes when I go to Calcutta, I go to a sweet shop and take sweets. Prabhupada said, that is also Krishna Prasad. And then Prabhupada told that it is the consciousness that when you are, all the food that we take is actually Krishna Prasad. And that was such an amazing instruction, that we have to eat our food, accept our food as Krishna Prasad, as mercy of Krishna, because it's mercifully he only gave it to us. That's why you get them. Of course, we have to be careful that these are the items that we can offer to Krishna. Then only we can take it as his prasad. Things that cannot be offered to Krishna cannot be accepted. Anyway, so this is how and I started to translate. The first book I started to translate was Bhagavad Gita. And after translating, I would take it to Srila Prabhupada and I would read it out to them. Prabhupada would sometimes correct me, and sometimes Prabhupada appreciate my translation. So this is how it started. Then one day, Prabhupada gave me a stack of Bengali letters needed to be answered. And Prabhupada told me to answer them, and he told me how to answer them. I used to read the letter out to Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada would give me the points. Like this, and I would just take note of the points. And I had to frame that, I had to structure the letter, compose the letter. And then I would come back to Srila Prabhupada and read it out, my reply. And Prabhupada would correct me. Sometimes I would make such silly replies, and when Prabhupada would correct me, I would feel so embarrassed. How stupid of me it was to write things like that, you know, like. And so anyway, and let's not get into the details of that. So then I answered all those Bengali letters. Then Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters and wanted me to write. He asked me whether I could write in Hindi. And I said I could write, but my handwriting is not so nice. Prabhupada said, okay, that doesn't matter. Prabhupada told a joke, I'm skipping it also now. So then, one afternoon, Prabhupada told me that he was appointing me as a secretary for Indian affairs. And by the time I already knew that only the GBCs act as proper secretaries. And I was quite overwhelmed that Prabhupada is making me his secretary. And so then he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary, and he told him about his appointment. And then he told him that I should move into his room. Like Prabhupada's secretary's room was just next to Srila Prabhupada's. One room after Srila Prabhupada's room was the secretary's room in Mayapur. And so that opened up another inconceivable good fortune for me, the association of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, to be with him practically 24 hours a day. And he was such a wonderful personality, such an amazing devotee, so efficient and so intelligent and so caring. So I was sharing the same room with him. Prabhupada was in those guest house in Mayapur. There were two sets of beds, and Tamalkrishna Maharaj used to sleep in one, and I used to sleep on the other. And this is how now I got the opportunity to be with Srila Prabhupada practically the whole day, 24 hours practically. Oh, by the time I was already got initiated. On the day, just the day before initiation, I was told that Prabhupada decided, I was told that I was getting first initiation. But the day before the initiation, Brahmananda Prabhu, who also was kind of acting as Prabhupada's secretary, he told me that Prabhupada decided to give me second initiation also. And he was also very happy. He told me that, you know something, this is the first time Prabhupada is doing something like that. He's giving first and second initiation together. So, and then Prabhupada, after Mayapur festival, Prabhupada was to go to Bombay. So there was a big program arranged for Prabhupada in Cross Maidan. And so I was meant to go also with Prabhupada. And so Bhavananda Prabhu just told me that, you see, you have so much to do here, so don't go with Srila Prabhupada. And that really broke my heart. That, and already Bhavananda Prabhu had done so much for me that I couldn't argue with him or insist that no, I am going to go. Because, you know, when he said that don't go with Srila Prabhupada, I just accepted, okay. Although my heart was aching. And he consoled me saying that, you know, service in separation is higher than service in higher than personal service. I heard with my ears, but that reasoning didn't reach my heart. So I was feeling so despondent, so disappointed. And so then the day before Srila Prabhupada was to leave, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why, Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I said, then I just blurted out, like a whole passage, Srila Prabhupada, no, I am not coming, because Bhavananda Maharaj told me that service in separation is greater than service from personal service. I just kept on just repeating what he said. Then Prabhupada listened and he said, yes, that may be, but when your spiritual master wants you to serve him, I think you should come with him. So I just I practically ran to Bhavananda Maharaj and I told him what Prabhupada said. And he said, okay, when Prabhupada wants you to go with him, then yes, you have to go with him. And then I told him, jokingly, and Prabhupada told me to tell you that you have to pay for my fare also. So that's how I got the opportunity to go with Srila Prabhupada to Bombay. And from then onwards, I was actually with Srila Prabhupada all the time. Prabhupada came to Bombay. From Bombay, Srila Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. And from Rishikesh, Prabhupada went to Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada wanted to go to America. Then also, the night when Prabhupada was leaving, Prabhupada was to take a flight early in the morning from Delhi. And so Prabhupada was to travel to the airport. And Prabhupada was all dressed up, ready to leave. And I was sitting at Prabhupada's feet. So Prabhupada asked, "Aren't you coming?" So I told him, "Prabhupada, I didn't have my passport with me, so I couldn't travel." Then Prabhupada said, "Then you come to Hawaii and meet me." Prabhupada's plan was to go to London, New York, Gita Nagari, Los Angeles, and Hawaii. So he wanted me to meet him in Hawaii. So this is how I have the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada. And that was the only time that I was not with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was supposed to go to all those places, but when Srila Prabhupada went to London, his condition deteriorated and he had to come back to, he came back to India. And so when Prabhupada left for London, Bhavananda Maharaj also came to see him off. And so after Prabhupada left, he asked me, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't have any plan." And I told him what Prabhupada told me, to meet him in Hawaii. He says, "Come, let's go to Mayapur." So I flew to Mayapur. And in Mayapur, by the time a few Indian boys joined, and I was giving them a class one afternoon, and a telegram came to me from Tamal Krishna Maharaj saying, "Prabhupada wants you to come to Vrindavan immediately." So I went and told Bhavananda Prabhu, and he said, "Okay, then you go." So the next morning I took the... that same day actually, I left for Calcutta. Next morning I took a flight to Delhi and went to Vrindavan. So this is how I got the opportunity to be with Srila Prabhupada again. And then I was with Srila Prabhupada till he left this planet. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine. Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya.